Absolute Power, written by David Baldacci, read by Scott Brick, preface read by the author.
Preface. I was staring out a hotel window in Islip, New York, at midnight. I was in Islip in my role as an attorney. I'd been sent there to review bank ground leases in connection with an acquisition. If you ever have insomnia, don't waste time popping pills. Just pull up a bank ground lease and you'll be asleep by the second page. I had just received word from my film agent in L.A. that a screenplay that I had penned, and which seemed to have a lot of juice out in Hollywood, had failed to sell. I remember thinking as I stared out that window that maybe it was never going to happen for me, that big break that every writer hopes for. I had been laboring for many years, learning the craft, becoming a better storyteller, but I had little monetary success to show for it. I could have decided then and there to just put down my pen and continue being a lawyer. It was not how I wanted to spend my time on Earth, but it provided a good living for my family. However, when I got back to Virginia, I knew that quitting was not an option. Writing has never been a job or a hobby or even a passion. It's how I identify as an individual. Stopping would have been akin to erasing a substantial part of me from me. Then I had an idea for a writing challenge I had long been wanting to take on, a novel. My law office back then was within easy walking distance of the White House, and I would pass by and see the building and the guards and occasionally the presidential motorcade roll out. As a student of history, I knew that John F. Kennedy had conducted affairs at the White House while his wife was away, and I had been told that there were tunnels connecting the White House with both the Treasury Department on one side and the old executive office building on the other. So I began to wonder, what if one of these presidential trysts went terribly wrong, resulting in the president's Secret Service agents killing an innocent woman? That seemed to be a fascinating premise for an original novel, since it created intriguing moral challenges for everyone involved. Fueled by the potential, I spent 3 years of my spare time crafting the novel that became Absolute Power. I had gotten the idea for the title from the old Lord Acton quote, "Absolute power corrupts absolutely." What a prophet he was. With the novel finished, I found the names of 7 agents and sent it to them with a short query letter that said, "I guarantee that if you read the first page, you won't stop until you read the last." I knew that with that arrogant statement laid out, they would read the manuscript, if only to prove me wrong. 2 weeks later, 6 of the 7 agents wanted to represent me. I met the 7th one years later, and he lamented that his decision not to represent me was the biggest mistake he'd ever made. The book was sent out on a Monday night and was sold Tuesday morning for a record amount of money. When my agent called, I didn't believe him at first, because all I had known up to that point was rejection. When the CEO of the publisher phoned, I was convinced. I called my wife and told her that the novel was going to be published. She said excitedly, "That's great. How much is it going to cost us?" With a thrill in my voice, I told her that they were actually going to pay us for the privilege. We then had the task of going around and telling our close friends and family members, none of whom even knew I'd been writing all those years. Half thought our big news was that we were divorcing. The other half thought we were having another baby. To the latter group, I said, "You're right, in a way, only I'm the one giving birth." The following years were an absolute maelstrom of activity. Countless TV and radio appearances, hundreds of news articles about yours truly, around-the-world book tours, meeting people from all walks of life, receiving fan letters from U.S. presidents and other celebrities, and having films and TV series made from my books. For a writer who spent over a decade writing short stories that never found a home, it was a bit surreal. Well, more than a bit. I remember telling myself at the time to slow down and cherish every moment, because this would only happen to me for the first time once. And I did. I kept journals chronicling all of it. I stood in constant awe of how my life had changed, how my professional dreams had been realized. That experience, above all else, made me even more empathetic to those on the outside of the glass, looking longingly in at the world in which I now resided. Because of my personal experience in the years since, I have worked to encourage and be supportive